From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is Our Ally. The text is found in Exodus 23 and verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. The Lord Christ in the midst of his people is to be acknowledged and obeyed. He is the vice-regent of God, and speaks in the Father's name, and it is ours implicitly and immediately to do as he commands. We shall lose the promise if we disregard the precept. To full obedience, how large the blessing! The Lord enters into a league with his people, offensive and defensive. He will bless those who bless us, and curse those who curse us. God will go heart and soul with his people and enter in deepest sympathy into their position. What a protection this affords us! We need not concern ourselves about our adversaries when we are assured that they have become the adversaries of God. If Jehovah has taken up our quarrel, we may leave the foeman in his hands. So far as our own interest is concerned, we have no enemies. But for the cause of truth and righteousness, we take up arms and go forth to conflict. In this sacred war, we are allied with the eternal God. And if we carefully obey the law of our Lord Jesus, he is engaged to put forth all his power on our behalf. Wherefore, we fear no man.
Thank you.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. Continuing to deal with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns is addressing the words, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word temptation is used in the Bible in a number of ways. We've noted that in the context of the Lord's Prayer, temptation does not mean God enticing man to do evil, nor does it mean that we can hope to live in this world without being tempted. As Dr. Cairns will show, the petition expresses a desire that God would make us holy and watchful so that we don't fall into temptation. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, a prayer for the prevention of sin.
It is the meaning of temptation, the word itself, that will help us to grasp the meaning of the text. Keep in mind what I said, and now I try to understand, what does it mean, lead us not into temptation? Let me start off by telling you, obviously, what it doesn't mean. It's good that we understand what it doesn't mean so that you don't set yourself up to fall into the temptation of the devil. So that you don't pray something that is totally outside the will of God and then become frustrated when it's not answered. This does not mean do not entice us to sin. For the very simple reason that would be a blasphemy, because God cannot and will not induce or entice anyone to sin. Every inducement of God is to holiness. Every word of God is pure. There is absolutely no taint of wickedness in it. And everything that God does for His people is to make them a holier people, to separate them unto Him. So it would be a gratuitous insult to God to pray, Lord, do not entice me to sin. It's the first thing it doesn't mean. Second thing it does not mean is, it does not mean never allow us to be tried or tested. Because we have scripture after scripture that tells us that this testing is indeed the will of God. Peter writes that it is the will of God after you have suffered a while to make you perfect. The testing is the will of God. We have already read Peter's words that the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So it is not the Savior's intention that we should start praying, Lord, never let us be put in a situation that will investigate the reality of our spiritual experience, that will try the reality and the depth of our devotion to God. That is not what the text means. The third thing it does not mean is never allow us to be tempted to sin. While we're in this body and while we're in this world, temptation is part of the fabric of human experience. You can no more envisage living in this world, in this body, without temptation than you can envisage breathing without air. It's an impossibility. It's a contradiction in terms. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Apostle John, and we look at this in due course, speaks of the sources from which temptation will hit us, the world and the flesh and the devil. And while we're in this body and in this world, it is impossible to escape temptation to sin. If Jesus were telling us to pray, Lord, never allow us to be tempted to sin, it would be tantamount to praying, Lord, take us out of the world. But He Himself has stated in so many words, in John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, that is, the evil that is in the world. So these are things that it doesn't mean. When you've wiped out what it doesn't mean, that will leave you to discover then what it does mean. Lead us not into temptation means clearly, providentially, lead us so as to make us holy and watchful. Let us not be taken unawares by temptation. Keep us humble. Keep us alert. And do not, and this is a very important part of Christ's meaning in the context. Notice this verse starts with the word and. It's linking it directly with what goes before. Forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. Do not allow the fact that we receive forgiveness for our sins from God make us presume upon the mercy of God. Do not allow us to be careless Do not allow us to flirt with sin just because God forgives us when we sin. That's the spirit of this petition. It's a very wise petition, and it's very well directed. The great Puritan Thomas Manton, summing up this petition, said, "We cannot be tempted without or apart from the will of God." I'm not going to preach Manton's outline or what I would like to say about what he said. That would take us too much time. But pay attention to what he's saying. It will give you a great deal of comfort and support. It will give you a great deal of confidence when you're being tried and tested, or even when you're facing temptation, to realize this is not happening outside the will of God. Be sober, be vigilant, says the Apostle Peter, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Peter? And I have no doubt these words were in the apostle's mind as he penned the words that I've just quoted. Jesus said to him in Luke 22:31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." So with the devil against us to draw us away from God, the world always attacks every sense that we have to draw us away from God. The eye gate, as it's called. You can't walk abroad in the world today, but you're bombarded with filth, with wickedness, with sin, with shame, with nudity, with perversion, with vileness. Wherever you go, you can't go to a grocery store, but you're faced with wickedness. The ear gate, you can't walk abroad in the world, but you're bombarded with the sounds of hell. I can never understand how born-again Christians have the slightest doubt that rock and roll music was born in hell. You walk abroad in the world and you'll get the thump and the thud of the pit in your ears. You'll get the language of the pit. You'll get the demoralizing, shameful speech of the pit everywhere you go. Every stimulus to sin, the world attacks. That's why John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." By the way, that's the biblical definition of world here. Not talking about trees and mountains and rivulets and streams. Not talking about rejoicing in the beauties of God's creative and providential power. It's talking about the filth of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. And he says, these are not of the Father, but of the world. Love them not. And then, of course, the flesh is the Trojan horse that would throw open the gates of our soul, would betray us to the enemy. Paul himself said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but." And what a but it is. Let me stop there. Only a true born-again Christian can say, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." The Pharisee and the legalist and the hypocrite may appear to delight in it so that men may see their punctilious observance of the letter. But only the man of God loves the law of God in the inward man. "I delight in it," says Paul, "but I see another law warring in my members against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The word law here, the law of sin, is the principle of evil in the old man. Paul says, that's in me. And it stirs up itself to go to war against the law of God within my heart. So the flesh betrays us to the enemy. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, I keep under my body. I keep it under and bring it into subjection. I pummel my body, says Paul. I punch it. He's using the language of the prize fighter. He says, I punch it into submission, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here are three things then. The devil and the world and the flesh surrounding us. That's why we need to pray, Lord, lead us. We're in a battle. This stress is a great warfare. But this text also confesses a great weakness and a great wickedness. You'll notice that there is absolutely no trust in the flesh here. We recognize in the previous verse we have sinned. Therefore we pray, Lord, forgive us. Now we're recognizing that our flesh, the old man, is sold out to sin. As I've quoted from Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We must look at our sins, our lusts, our evil propensities, and confess, in the words of 2 Chronicles 20:12, O God, we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You look at the whole host of your own sin and wickedness. You look at the failures that have dogged your footsteps. You look at the weakness that now inhabits you, and indeed, not only inhabits you, but governs you as you seek to face the forces that are against you. And you say, Lord, I have no might against this great company. We look at our sins, and we have got to say what the psalmist said, Lord, my enemies are many, and they are strong. That's why Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. Never get proud. I think that a Christian is never in more danger than when he says, with, in the words of the psalmist again, he certainly found out how foolish he was, I shall never be moved. As soon as you think it, you'll not only be moved, you'll fall flat on your face. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.